Subway everyday value means many mouth-watering pile-high favorites are $5 footlongs, like the fresh-toasted tempting meatball marinara and made-to-your-order BLT. The $5 footlong anthem rolls on only at Subway, where great everyday value lives. Subway, eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. All right, taping this on a late Thursday afternoon. Very special guest in the studio. The number one draft pick of ESPN. The host of Sports Nation. The host of Winner's Bracket on ABC Saturdays 5 in the afternoon. And
oh,
now
see?
On the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, but not really because she's in studio, Michelle Beadle. What's
Yay!
Happening?
Hey, how are you?
I did that. I didn't even write out that intro. That was off the top
it
of my head.
It sounded professional.
Thank you. You've been at ESPN now for a year?
It'll be a year in June. So was that
in June?
Months? Yeah.
That's when you got hired, but not when the show started.
No, the show started, I think, July like 6th.
And what were you doing before then? Tell America.
Oh, what was I doing? I was covering New Jersey Nets basketball for the Yes Network.
Is that true?
Yes. 3 years I did that.
Yep. I hate doing homework for stuff like this. I like being surprised with information like I covered the New Jersey Nets sidelines.
Oh, it was interesting. Poor guy.
So were you there for Vince Carter?
I was there for Vince Carter and Jason Kidd, yeah.
What'd you think of Vince Carter?
You know, I liked Vince. Vince was a, he's a different cat. I mean, if he likes you, then great, and you're in. But if he doesn't, he can make it very uncomfortable for everyone. So, thankfully, I was on his good side. I don't know if I am anymore, but...
You probably saw him mail in a couple games.
Maybe.
Maybe.
You know what? I had those three guys there at the same time. Richard, Jefferson, Kidd, and, you know, so between the three, I think I saw each one do something they weren't supposed to.
What about Kidd's wife? Was she still in the mix, or were they divorced by then?
She was. I was fortunate enough to get the divorce part of that whole saga.
Oh.
So that was fun. That was good drama. You know what? She looks great now. I saw her on some reality show, because I think that was a bad period for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an unhappy team, and then eventually Jason Kidd just said, I'd really like to be traded out of here as fast as I possibly could.
He got a migraine headache. You know how those happen. Never.
So when you do the sideline reporter thing for the NBA, and were you doing all 82 games?
Pretty much, yeah. Shocking.
How many ways do you run out of? I've even written a column about this. Different ways to ask. Like, how do you stop him in the second half? What do you have to do to shut him down? And you know, the guy's not actually going to tell you.
No, and they're never going to give you a different answer. It's very, very rare that one of these athletes will give you something that's different. It's hard. I mean, we joke about it. I don't know how they got through this past season. I don't know what was it, 20 wins at the end or not even. I don't know how many ways you say, wow, this is really tough, isn't it? This is not fun. There's only so much you can do. Eventually, they get to know you well enough and you kind of go, I'm sorry, I have to do this. Okay, here we go. And they just talk.
Now that you're not a sideline reporter, do you think it's a useful and worthwhile job? Be honest.
No, I'm just kidding. You know, it's a interesting job. You know, there are some people out there that I think are better at it than others. Some probably take it a little too seriously. You know, those guys are used to just giving us the same answers, so they should have more fun sometimes. I don't like it when people take it too seriously.
I wrote a whole thing about how I wish that my wife was a sideline reporter, because she would get to things like, Amari, you changed your hair today. What was the impetus for that and stuff? I guess you could say that's kind of sexist, but at the same time, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Like, that's the stuff I want from my sideline reporter. I don't really care if they feel like they can stop the other team in the second half. I know what they're going to say.
And it's fun. And that's kind of like, I always thought that was what it was supposed to be. I mean, if they tried some new recipe out that morning, I want to hear about that, because at the end of the day, I really don't care that you have to, you know what? You have to prevent LeBron James from scoring. Well, yeah, obviously. So what else can you tell me that would be entertaining? Because we have two people calling the game. So the sideline person, entertain me. That's what I want.
And sometimes they'll throw it to you just because you're there.
Yeah.
You might not even have anything. Let's go down to Michelle, who has some news on Brooke Lopez's mom. It's like, yeah, she's in town, guys, and she's very excited to see her son play. All right, back to you.
You know what? That third year I was there, we were running out of things. And I will give it to the producers, Frank DeGrace, there, because he was being creative. We did a ridiculous segment every game called Where's Michelle? And I would challenge people on the road to eating contests, or I would just basically make a jack of myself, and that would be it. That'd be my job. There was no seriousness involved. That to me is more fun anyways.
Are we That's kidding? What my friend Rob Stone does with college football. He's sideline reporter, but he's really kind of throwing himself into the world of whatever game they're in and coming up with weird things. And I think one week he ate brains at some,
yes,
you know, the stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff.
That's
like, I'd
better.
Like to see you try to eat like whatever the Dallas House specialty sausage was, like the hottest sausage. And
I would.
I don't know why we don't do stuff like that with sideline.
I
reporters.
Shoveled snow one year. I'd never shoveled snow in my life. We were snowed in. There were seven people at the game. They sent me outside in boots and a hat, and I shoveled snow. I was like, I've never done this. Let's try it.
Is that true?
Oh, there's that reel. That should get me some really big jobs. That entire reel.
So what would be the worst clip from your sideline reporter experience that could end up on YouTube that you'd be like, oh, my God.
You know what?
That get on there.
I did an interview as I inhaled a hot dog. You know, in hindsight, inhaling a hot dog in camera is not the best thing to do. It is on YouTube in slow-mo now.
Yeah. You know, in Vegas when the table starts doing really well and they turn the overhead camera on? That just happened during this podcast. They had the camera on over your head right now. They're like, uh-oh. Hot dogs. It took 7 minutes for them to start talking about hot dogs. There's a bet right now that I think I'm 2-1 odds to get fired, and you're 3-1
yeah,
after this podcast.
I was
and Joe Mead is 10-1.
I have Charlie sitting in here with me. He says he's doing it for other reasons. I think it's just to watch what I say.
Just to throw water on you?
Yeah, totally.
Well, let's talk about this. So, women in the whole sports media place,
mm-hmm,
they're encouraged to, I don't want to say not be women, but they're supposed to be very professional and not be the same way. Like, for instance, let's say you and I and Jamie and Wilds, and we went out and we went and got buffalo wings and watched, you know, 5 hours of the NBA playoffs.
Right.
We'd talk about stuff. We'd bust each other's, I can't say balls, but, you know, whatever. And we'd do the whole thing, and we'd have a conversation. Yet on TV, we're not allowed to totally do that. Why do you think that is?
Oh, I think a few have ruined it for everyone, but it's so sensitive. I don't know. I try not to be that way. I mean, none of us are saving lives. I don't know if you know how to do heart surgery. I don't. I just talk and someone gives me money for it. So I try to have fun. I mean, we all go out. I act like a jerk. I say inappropriate things. I'm warned daily. I don't know. I think you're still supposed to have fun. I mean, we had fun before we got here, and I still get to be girly. But I'm still going to cuss, and I'm going to make inappropriate jokes about things I'm not supposed to, and I will probably get in trouble. And that's just, I'm going to learn as I go, or I'll get fired.
But you haven't gotten in trouble yet, though. See, I like you for a couple reasons, but I like when any girl who is okay with somebody calling them by their last name is a huge win for me.
I don't know my name anymore. That's what's weird about it.
I actually dated a girl who I knew from college who we called by her last name.
Yeah.
And as we were dating, I was calling her by the last name and actually introduced her to my parents with her last name.
It's funny. I've had that, and here you are thinking, oh, you know what? I'm so cute and sexy, and I'm an awesome chick. And then the guy you think is, like, totally into you, and he might be, but he's like, hey, this is Beetle. And you're just like, that's just, it's not as hot.
No.
The person that you're interested in making out with calls you Beetle.
Well,
I get used to it.
Because eventually you're thinking, like, on your wedding day that you don't want the priest to be like, do you Beetle?
It's going to happen.
So you got that going for you. You also, you're not afraid to wear, like, weird basketball uniforms and things like that in the show.
Yeah.
You're not, you're a little self-deprecating style, which I like, which I think people on TV, for the most part, women on TV, they love to say, like, oh, I roll with the punches. I'm just one of the guys. But you rarely see them actually do it.
You'll
do it on the show.
I think it's weird sometimes for women, especially in this particular business, because on the one hand, you know, it's almost like especially a generation before me, it's almost like you were expected to be a dude, like dress like a dude and don't dress like a woman. And now we're embracing where we can dress like, well, some of us are embracing dressing like a woman, but there's a fine line between being, I just say, screw it. I'm going to act like a 12-year-old, and that just kind of covers everything. That way I don't get in trouble. But the show is perfect for it, and they let us be ridiculous. Why wouldn't you do that? If I was worried about being like, you know, my whole goal is to be on the cover of Maxim, then I definitely didn't go about it the right way. But that's
yes.
Okay. I can always start over.
And people don't realize, or I don't think most people don't realize, like, what a ball bust you are, because when I was on the show and you gave me a high five and I dished you.
Yeah, you did.
Which I did intentionally, and I thought it was funny. And you wouldn't believe the emails I got. Like, that's so rude that you did that to her. And
How about that?
And people, like, thought that we didn't like each other and all this stuff. And
it's interesting, like, how things read. Like, you think it's an awesome bonding moment, and then I guess to the outside world it looked like something else. I didn't get that, but I know I had to clear that up with people.
Yeah, I felt bad. I was getting all these people tweeting me and emailing me like, why'd you do that to Beetle? That was so uncool, man. You left her hanging.
Gosh.
And I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, well.
So what do you think of living in the whole Bristol ESPN, the whole world, diving into it? Everywhere you walk, there's ESPN pictures, ESPN signs, people talking ESPN. How long did it take to get used to that?
I think it's still a process. We were actually, they set up a huge soccer goal. We were just out there without a soccer ball playing soccer, and it's a bizarre, it is a campus. Like, I know they make you go through the thing and they call it a campus. And it really is. I try to tell this to my friends back home, and they're not going to get it till they get here, but it's funny. I've never worked in an environment like this. It's definitely different, but I like it because everyone's kind of in the same, we're all in the same boat. But it's, Connecticut's definitely different. That's different for me.
But at the same time, what is the male-female breakdown?
Here at work?
Just in general, what is it, like 75-25?
It feels like it. I mean, on our show, I can just say on our show alone, we now have 4 women, but for the longest time we only had 2. So I would imagine that's pretty consistent with what's going on, or at least it feels that way. I have no idea.
What was that like?
We need more chicks. The women are cool. The ones we have, well, for us, they're just all cool. They're all very much similar. I think you kind of have to be with this group, because if not, you won't like it. I mean, you want to leave. So
yeah,
it's for us so far so good.
Were you always one of those sports girls, like hanging out with the dudes talking sports, or did that develop over time?
Not necessarily talking sports, but I think, yeah, for the most part, most of my friends growing up were boys. It's not till you're an adult when you appreciate the female friends more. I think growing up, you want to hang out with boys. Boys are easy, no drama. But now as an adult, I want my girlfriends.
And what about, how did the parents shape you with the sports thing?
Well, my mom, still, I mean, she finally kind of gets NBA, but she, you know, she's 5 feet tall, born and raised in Italy. Like, soccer is the only thing she really cares about. And my dad, even though now he knows that I love sports and we talk Spurs all the time, that wasn't really his thing with me growing up. I think he kind of held out that my brother would be the big sports guy, and he kind of wasn't. And I think it took a while for my dad to realize, no, Dad, I'm the one that actually wants the autographs, not Robert. Now he gets it.
I'm glad we brought this up, because, you know, I have the daughter and the son.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter's the budding jock. I actually think my son's going to like sports, too. But I always wondered what would happen if she was the one who likes sports and he didn't.
Is she older?
She's 2.5 years older, yeah.
Okay, yeah. See, I don't. It's interesting. I think I would assume that as a dad, you expect the boy, and you don't know what the girl's going to think.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not ready for it, you don't embrace it. It took a little while, but now we get it. Just, you know, 15 years later.
I am of the opinion that a dad can brainwash his kid into liking just about anything.
I would think so.
If you push hard enough and you just really leave them no choice at all. That's what I'm banking
on. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. You should see my son's room. He's covered in sports stuff. He has no idea.
Oh, you know what? You're going to be so sad when he's like, Dad, I'm leaving and I've joined the Russian ballet, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Dad, put Dancing with the Stars on. What?
Oh, no.
Shoot me in the head. Yeah. Well, my daughter just started playing soccer, so I'm entering that whole sports parent world, which I've always made fun of, like, people in my family and stuff, or friends or whatever. Like, oh, my daughter scored 6 goals in, like, her 3rd game. And I was like, texting people I didn't know to tell them.
See?
It's like, hey, you haven't heard from me in 10 years. I just wanted to tell you my daughter scored 6 goals. I almost tweeted it. And then I felt like that, like, people would make fun of me.
You know, I don't think so. There are guys, you know, like, Jay Crawford and he loves to brag about his son. Like, I think it's kind of interesting to watch Schlereth the same way. I like reading. Like, it's a different side of everyone, because we see one side. I kind of like it, actually.
Yeah, I will tell you that rooting for your kid so far supersedes rooting for the professional athletes for the teams that I root for.
I hope
it's no contest, because it reinforces the whole rooting for Laundrie thing all over again.
Well, and she's reflecting you, and in some way it looks to you if you're an athlete or not, if she's good.
Yeah. I married my wife partly for the genes.
That's smart.
I'm not going to lie.
Honestly, it's probably the only reason to get married.
We were in a touch football game, and she dusted one of my roommates like four times, went deep on him. I was like, I got to get in on those jeans.
That is so awesome.
And I didn't mean the blue jeans.
Of course not.
Got it. I was looking at her like the way the Russians would look at potential Cold War candidates
to put
in their like boxing programs and stuff.
Don't care if you have anything in common. It's just going to produce something awesome.
Well, it was like the thing that pushed it over the top, where I was like, I better lock this down to a free agent long-term deal. You know, I get the year-by-year thing. So you start Sports Nation. The show is an hour, even though we all agree that it probably would be better off as a half hour, but they say, no, it needs to be an hour. Then the research starts coming back. This is a great show. It should be a half hour. But yet you guys stretch it into an hour.
We do.
Five times a week. How do you not run out of stuff?
TV viewers, I think it's similar to radio and everything. Everyone listens in spurts. There's all that, the numbers and the suit stuff behind it, about 11 minutes or something. So, a lot of times, whatever we talk about in the last segment of the show is very similar to the first segment. We just change the style of it a little. It's hard. I mean, there are days, like there are a random Tuesday in the middle of the summer, there's nothing to talk about. But that's when we just get to be goofy. I mean, the other day we had Maury Povich on. There's no reason to have Maury Povich on other than it's just weird and it's awesome and he's great. So we just figured out these guys, I don't know, they're creative, and I guess we just kind of, we're making a fool of ourselves. Some of these things aren't working and some do. And we know as soon as we try it that it's not working and we just won't do it again. But kind of learning as we go. I feel like we tweak every single day. Every day is about something else.
Yeah, I like that you're adding stuff and you're taking chances. You're doing exactly. As you know, I have some friends that work on the show.
Of course, yes.
Including, initially, Dave Jacoby, the czar of reality TV in this podcast.
I mean, he's crazy.
He is. And Kevin Wilds, the creator of Half-Baked Ideas, who also comes on.
Yep.
But that's what you got to do. You got to throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks, basically. And I don't think enough people do that on TV. If anything, they encourage you to do the opposite, to find out what works and to just keep doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's easy to be comfortable. I think that for anything, you just find a comfort zone and just stick with it, and then you don't have to try as hard. But it's definitely scary. I mean, we look like idiots when it doesn't work, but I'll tell you what, I'm shocked so far that we haven't had more people from an upper level come down and say, do this, don't do this. I thought, so many times you hear, oh, you guys are going to get to try new things and do, and that's not actually the case. But so far, so good. Pleasantly surprised, actually.
And so what is it, like month 10 now?
Month 10. It seems like forever.
So is the show what it is now, or is it just going to keep evolving into new things?
I think it'll keep evolving. I mean, I think eventually we'd like to take it on the road a little bit, maybe do something on campuses, just change the environment up. I would love that. I would love to be able to take this thing on the road. You know, Colin and his 37 hours of radio a day, that's really getting in the way, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm sure he could take a week off from pontificating for 4 hours.
He would love it. If we could go to like Los Angeles and get some sun for a little bit, I think that'd
be good for him.
You know, he's getting married now, so he would.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
He is. I think June is what they've decided.
Really? How long has he been dating this young
lass? Well, they were on and off for about 3 years. Colin went away one weekend, had some sort of an epiphany, came back, told us he was getting married. We're like, all right, cool.
Holy mackerel!
Yeah,
I had no idea. So when's that wedding?
I believe end of June.
So if I know your producer, Jamie Horowitz, he wanted to put cameras all around that wedding and do a live show and actually have Colin do a show from the altar, all that stuff. Is that true?
Can you imagine like a Regis and Kelly wedding? It would be so
great.
That
would be cool. Actually, you could probably get that paid for.
The
Subway Fresh Take Hotline wedding.
Oh, God, how depressing. That would not be good for him. That would
be cool. They should at least put some clips online.
Well, maybe he will. I think they went from one kind of a wedding to a really small, intimate wedding with a big party when they get back. So who knows?
Well, you guys have a pretty good fan base now. It seems like on Twitter and people suggesting the clips and people voting, all that stuff. It seems like you have, I would say, a diehard audience of viewers. Correct?
Yeah, we have our, we call them our Twitter stars, because there's a probably a dozen or so of these guys, girls that are, I mean, every day. They tell you everything we've said, which I just find hilarious. But I do. I feel like it's growing a little bit more. Like, more people in my weird circle of the world are now watching, you know, because not everyone, they don't know what I do. And so if I hear them say, oh, I saw you on, and it's some artsy musician guy I know, then I'm like, well, this is kind of cool. It's expanding. Yeah. So I like that.
You know what helps is that they rerun it sometimes at weird times at night.
Yes.
It'll come on at like, you know, 1 a.m, or it'll come on all at 9 o'clock on ESPN2. It'll be on.
It helps. Especially on the West Coast. It completely helps.
Well, I think it's always good to remind people that you're on who missed the time and aren't DVRing it or whatever. I find that with Pardon the Interruption sometimes, you know, I won't remember to even watch it on my TiVo, but I'll be flipping channels and I'll watch it. The habits 100. Of TV viewers are just weird.
I know. I don't even remember what it was last night, but I caught it. Was one of those things where the show actually airs during the day, and I was like, oh, I never get to see this. And it works. I thank goodness for re-airs. They really
Yeah. Are. People are lazy. People are getting lazier by the day. I've talked about this. Like, I have all these DVDs, but I'll see a movie that'll come on that I own on DVD, and I'll watch it because it's on cable. But
oh,
I really
God.
Could have just walked over and put the DVD in, and I'm like too lazy to do that.
I do the same thing. I'll pay the $4.99 for the on-demand, and the movie's sitting underneath the television on top of the DVD player. And I'm like, I don't want to unwrap it. I'm just going to pay the $4.99.
Right.
Pretty that is soon, embarrassing.
Well, pretty soon we'll be wearing a telepathic headset where we can just imagine watching the movie and it'll come on for $5.
Oh, I can't wait.
And that'll be where it goes.
I love television.
Now,
that'd be great.
When somebody starts doing well at ESPN, the pattern is usually other parts of the company try and corral that person okay. into doing other stuff. And it becomes, what's that word, drawn and quartered? You get pulled in 9 different directions.
Yeah.
That hasn't really happened to you. Why is that?
You know, they did the winner's bracket thing, which...
Yeah, but that's in the wheelhouse of what you're doing now.
No, it's a spinoff, and it's, you know, it's ABC, which is like, well, that's pretty cool. I don't know. I don't know.
Be careful.
I know, right? All of a sudden, I mean, I'm already working 6 days a week, people. All right?
Yeah.
I need a day off.
I like to say no, and I say no so much that it's a running joke, really, with
Do
the
you?
Company. Yeah, I just say no. I don't even... I like doing what I'm doing. They're not going to come up with an idea that I wouldn't have already have processed anyway.
But what if? What if they come to you and all of a sudden you're like, I can't believe I never thought of that. Yes.
Oh, man. The only thing that they could come to me and say, Bill, Hubie Brown, he wants you to be his third guy in the booth. We want to send you on the NBA games. That one I would think about.
See?
Just to spend time with Hubie.
It could happen.
Yeah. Sideline reporter I'd probably turn down because I think that would get me fired.
Only if you could, yeah, but you'd have to have it, like, make it your own. Like, you do it, but you say, I produce everything I do, and no one tells me what I'm going to report on. And then basically you just turn it into a free-for-all.
I'd want to do one with Phil Jackson because, you know, he never talks.
Ever.
He never wants to say anything. Just one where they throw it to me and I just stare at him and we just stare at each other for like 40 seconds and then kick it back.
That's
kind of stuff you should do. The goal is to get attention, right? If you're a sideline reporter.
I'm into this whole hockey thing now. I want to do one where I like Ovechkin and we just do shots. And then I'm like, okay, that was, and nobody speaks. We just do shots until somebody either passes out or calls time. And then he goes back out there and does what he does. It would be so entertaining.
I think that he would win that contest unless it was game 7. Oh, come on.
What just happened?
Oh my God. Poor Ovechkin.
I know.
I got it. If you can get in the emails about you can't spell Ovechkin without choke,
yes,
I get that one a lot today.
Killing him.
Oof.
He's not the. You know what? He's not the only one that choked. That Semin cat didn't even show up. So
I don't even feel like he choked. Every time I watched, he was like skating through 5 guys and shooting in the net.
He can only do so much.
What's your favorite sport?
Basketball.
Really?
Yeah, it's the one I watched as a kid. I was like, I remember being, 13, 14, and the Spurs lost to the Portland Trailblazers, and I was at my dad's company picnic, and I was crying.
Mm.
So I was a Spurs fan growing up. You know, I used to love, it's sad, I used to love baseball. You can't pay me to watch it now. I just get bored. Playoffs, I'll watch that, but football and hockey. Hockey's new to me, and I got to be honest, it could very well become second, third favorite, easily.
Hockey's second?
The playoffs have been, to me, more entertaining than anything else. I have not flipped the channel while watching, whereas I have done that with other things, which is kind of a big deal. I mean, we all have ADD, so I will sit there and watch an entire game. I don't even know who anyone is yet. I'm still learning. It's kind of fun.
Well, you know me. There's no bigger basketball fan. And
right.
Even I would admit that round one of NHL just killed NBA.
Thank you.
It was so much better.
I've been trying to tell these guys. It was so good.
Yeah.
You don't have to know anything about anything to sit there. I gauge it on what my eyes are doing. My eyes never stop moving. It's just fun.
And the HD really helps. I've talked about this, but the HD is really, you know, watching on a big TV, it's a lot different than it was 20 years ago. Watching it on some 36-inch Sony with, you know, not HD. You can barely see the puck half
barely.
The time.
Yeah, and we're Americans. We can't see the puck. What do you want?
Yeah. Now it's like you dive into it. It's like a big pool of eye candy.
It's beautiful. Oh, I know.
Guys skating back and forth.
And don't get me started because I'm going to say something, Bill. A woman, hockey dudes, there's something there.
Yeah, why is that? Hockey guys always did well in high school, college, and then afterwards.
I you know what? I think they're just big and strapping and tough. I mean, they are so much tougher than anybody else out there. And they seem to be the most down to earth. I think everyone says that, but they seem to be the most down to earth off the playing field, that it's just cool dudes you can have a beer with. I think chicks dig that.
Macho.
Yeah, totally macho, but not like in your face, you know, MMA macho. Just like if they got into a bar fight or somebody had to defend your honor, you know that guy would have your back. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. And plus, a lot of them are Canadian, and the Canadians are just mellow.
Yeah, they like to drink
good
beer
people.
And hang
yeah.
out. It's perfect.
You know, my wife is against hockey players because she claims that they all smell, no matter how many times they shower, they all smell like stale hockey equipment. And she's like, it's that stale, sweaty hockey. You know that smell. You get it in your nostrils, you can't get it out. And I don't know. It's a solid counter to your argument.
I'm trying to think. I don't know a lot of hockey dudes. I'm trying to, but I don't know that any of them have smelled. You know what? Now I'm going to start paying more attention. I'm going to literally walk up to Barry Melrose and just sniff.
Well, I think it's probably off him at this point. You should go for somebody who's guest hockey analyzing.
Okay. Oh,
somebody,
yeah.
You know, like somebody who got eliminated in round one.
You know
who
what?
Might have played 3 days before.
Zach Parise on the board, I think, for like a week or two from now. It's going to be awkward, but I will smell him.
Catch a gig. Just say, this is going to be weird, but I just want to catch a whiff.
Do I warn him or do I just do it and hope I don't get caught?
I think you warn it. You know, I think you do it and then you tell him, you explain it to him after.
Great. If he was my soulmate, that's going to get killed. Oh, well, I tried.
Can you imagine how much fun it would have been if the Whalers had stayed in Hartford? Because think how much bigger ESPN is now. Like we have enough people to fill the stadium every night.
It would be amazing. I mean, I'm across the street from where they played. I went to a couple of those Wolfpack games, and it was, you know, there's a couple people there. But if there was an NHL team in town,
yeah,
I would be exponentially happier.
They were well supported. It wasn't like the owner left because the team was doing badly. Like they actually loved the team.
It's I love it.
He was a jerk.
They still sell stuff. I mean, you can still buy the shirt. I love it. Nordstrom sells a $70 Hartford Whaler shirt. I love that. I love fashion.
Are you living in Hartford?
I am during the week. Yeah, and I try to go back to the city on the weekends. But it's
how many 2 a.m. hot dog trucks?
None here.
Yeah. Now, you haven't done the 2 a.m. hot dog truck once?
No. At 2 a.m. in Hartford?
Or 1:30? When is it? That's my memory of going out in Hartford, is coming out of the bars and the hot dog trucks would be there.
I've seen one, but I try to just get home. There's a pizza place, too, so I think I have stopped at the pizza joint.
Probably a good idea. Yeah. Where have been the locations that Beto has lived since college?
Oh, well, Oklahoma, Elk City. To be specific.
Really?
Yeah, I was quote unquote engaged to a professional bull rider. So obviously,
Hold on, slow down. Is that true?
It's true, yeah. He's since retired. He's like the world champ a couple times, and that was a whole, you know, it's a chapter of my life that I probably wouldn't do again, but I certainly don't regret because I learned how to ride a tractor. I rode a horse. I did things I would never do normally, so it was kind of cool.
That sounds like all character building stuff.
It's something.
I'm not happy with my response when you told me that, because I feel like there could have been an awesome joke there with bull, or like
eight
I could
seconds.
Have said bull or BS or something, but I blew it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So then where after Oklahoma?
I lived in Miami. I did a show for the Travel Channel.
Wait, so you go from Oklahoma to Miami?
Yeah, I back and forth. I actually had a place in Miami and would fly home to Oklahoma. So I was constantly, I mean, talk about a culture shock back and forth.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. So Miami was good. I only did that for a year, though, which was plenty. Oh, gosh. Then I moved to New York. That was kind of it. They were all traveling jobs. So it was kind of, I would be somewhere every weekend, but I was based out of Oklahoma.
That's pretty solid three cities, though, to have on your resume.
Yes.
Hartford kind of brought it down a tad.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, the big call was, can you come to New York to work? That was like, of course I can. Yeah. I would love to.
I've been thinking about Miami because I've been watching Basketball Wives.
Oh,
on VH1.
My.
I don't know if you're watching this fantastic Emmy award-winning show.
It's so good. They're now, not wives. Like the whole thing cracks me up.
Well, not one of them is married, which is a problem.
I love it.
As a woman, you see this whole groupie scene, and we've seen it with the Tiger Woods thing, and you see it in this show, these women that attach themselves to pro athletes, and then, of course, Antoine Walker goes broke, and and his lady is now divorcing him. No coincidence.
Shocking.
What do you think of this whole culture?
Gosh, what, the groupies or the women who marry athletes?
Both. That whole world of just girls trying to one up each other, trying to get their hooks into one of the meal tickets.
It's interesting. I guess if my life wasn't what it was, and I wasn't raised to think that, you know, I could go out and do whatever, who knows? Maybe my mentality would be as such. I'm not a huge believer in the whole institution. Like, the marriage thing to me is a very bizarre ritual. But that being said, I guess for some, why not? I mean, if you're gonna get married, do it for a lifestyle reason. But my problem is when they do it and then everyone's shocked that he's cheating.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? You kind of got married to a guy who you probably knew wasn't going to be faithful. You've lived a heck of a life. You've flown private everywhere. You've got great stuff in your closet. Don't be shocked, though. Like, that's the thing that blows my mind. I do feel bad when it's like a lot of the ball, I think baseball especially, you know, their high school girlfriends. That's a bad deal. But yeah. You married him after he was someone. I don't want to be a cynic, but chances are it's not super love.
Yeah, how do we get that memo out to the young ladies out there that you just don't want to marry the professional athlete? You know, you're looking at 1 in 20 odds that he's going to end up being a good guy.
Or you do it, but you go into it like, I know exactly what I'm doing. It's an investment, and that's it. You don't act shocked, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah. It's just, what do you think it is? Why can't athletes stay faithful?
Well, I don't even know that it's just athletes. I think the dude...
Or celebrities. Let's go with celebrities.
It's too easy. And plus, what is it? You do it once, you get away with it. That's kind of it. And it's like a downward spiral. I eat one cookie. I liked it. I'm going to eat the rest of them. Like, that's it. So, yeah. I don't know. It's too easy. It's too accessible. And it's just in your face all the time. I don't know how some of them juggle. Because not everyone's super smart. But some of them have managed to juggle quite a few ladies. I don't know how they do it. To me, it's a headache.
Yes.
I juggle three or four, and I can't keep up.
Well, there's stories about some of the NBA players that have been have had the long careers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have 14, 15 years of debauchery built up. So now it's like they go into the city that they go in twice a year, and if they meet some other girl they like, they're cheating on the mistress that is the mistress for that city. And they're sneaking around with the mistress, but they're also sneaking around with the wife. And this is like, you hear these stories, you're like, oh my God, how has this stuff not come out?
How?
And then the Tiger Woods thing happens.
That.
And it's like the nuclear bomb of these stories, basically.
The gift that just keeps on. You know, you hear the stories too, like the wife is sitting on one end of the arena, the girlfriend is sitting on the other, the PR, whoever has to help get tickets and separate. It's just,
yes.
It's shocking what and how many people know what's going on, and yet somehow it's still a secret.
Yeah, it is amazing to me. You see, the guy, there's a couple people who know all in the industry, and one of those people is the person who controls tickets for professional teams. So there's always like the gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And the gatekeeper knows who's got the girlfriend coming in that week. I got to get tickets for this. Well, who's this lady? Just a friend of mine.
A friend.
And it's some 20-year-old named Monique with an apostrophe. It's amazing. None of those people, not one out of all, what do we have, like 120 professional teams?
Yeah.
Not one person has had an anonymous blog with stories of, here's what my life is like working for my professional team.
Can you? That would be the highest selling book ever.
Oh, especially if you had 10 years of it.
Oh, my goodness. Some of the stories have to be amazing. I just know a little, and I still think it's pretty juicy. I can't imagine.
As a woman, have you forgiven Tiger Woods?
No, I'll never get over it.
Screw you, Tiger.
You're the worst. You know what? What was it today? 121 women? That's what it turns out he slept with.
Now, that was National Enquirer. We can trust them, right?
Well, but apparently, because at first everyone just went, yeah, but I guess that the story comes out of, you know, when he was in therapy, he had to write down the names, and it came out to be about that number of the women that he slept with while he was with Elon.
Dad, my number's a lot lower than that, and I don't think I could remember the list.
You know what? That's what we were arguing about at the pod. I was like, first of all, that is a lot of people in a 5-year period, especially when you're married. And secondly, How do you remember that?
Yeah, whose memory is that good? I can't remember 121 people I've talked to.
Honestly, I couldn't, even if you sat here and said, we're going to kill your family if you don't do it. I can't. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He must have just made up names or A and B.
Do you, like, my wife is morally and physically and whatever ends with L-Y against him. Just always wants him to not do well and feels bad for his wife and
yeah,
all that stuff. You're not in that camp.
I was more so, you know, my whole thing is if she divorces him, then good. Then we can all move on. And she did. I just don't like it when they stay. Like, I feel like a lot of times the women stay and then I don't understand what that's supposed to be or what the lesson is or who learned what. Not that it's for us to learn anything, but I never get it. But it looks to me like this, she's leaving. I don't know, from what, everything they've said. I don't have as big a problem with him because of what happens. Roethlisberger came along, and so it made it much easier for me to direct my hate towards a different man.
Roethlisberger kind of really blew Tiger off the papers to some degree.
He's just got a problem. I don't know what's wrong with him. You got to ask him about his relationship with family members that are female.
He's a big doofus, I think, is part of his issue.
I know, but to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but as a man, like, does it not kind of show you're a little insecure in your game that the choices that he makes on where he hangs out. Like, why isn't he asking out women who are kind of like on the same career path or level? Like, he's kind of hanging out at college joints. I don't get it.
Because he's a big dumb doofus.
Yeah, he must be an idiot.
I don't think there's really a lot to read into with that one. The Tiger one, you know, I think is a little more bizarre and makes me wonder, like, what kind of influence his dad had on him.
Whether
he learned a lot of this behavior from his dad, stuff like that. With Roethlisberger, strikes me as just the big dumb idiot that we went to college with. They were like, oh no, this guy's cut off. Don't let him near the keg again.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys blacks out and can't remember what he did 3 hours later. What did I do? Where were we tonight? You know, he's one of those guys.
And then he's issuing an apology. Yay. You know what? But Tiger, I always get the sense from Tiger that he's like your typical Uber nerd. All of a sudden, women are like, sure, I'll make out with you. And he just doesn't know what to do with himself. He freaks out and the system goes down.
Yeah, I would compare it to some of the guys out here in L.A., like, the agents, the nerdy agents who all of a sudden they have a chance to date, you know, I don't know, Evangeline Lilly.
Of course.
Like, oh, I can get the girl from Lost. Like, I can actually get her out to dinner and they might have a wife if they do. Hey, I can get Evangeline Lilly now. Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for the last 10 years. I'm going to go date the actress from Lost now.
I mean, I would imagine that's got to be a life-changing moment when all of a sudden everything that was forbidden you can now get. That's got to be weird.
Adam Carolla had a funny story about, he calls it the double arc.
Yeah.
Where there was I won't say the actress, but an actress that he loved as a kid. And his career was going up and hers were going down. And there was an intersection where he felt like he could now get her, even though she was 20 years older. But yet he was still going up and they were about to pass. And it was like for this brief 1 week period or whatever, they were exactly at the same level where neither of them would have been bummed out.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then a week later, he might have been bummed out because she was too old. And a week earlier, she might have been like, oh, right. I'm slumming it with Adam.
Wait, so did it happen?
No, I think he probably screwed it up, knowing him. But yeah. The Tiger thing, I like the Uber nerd theory.
Yeah, it's got to be. I don't know what else it could be. I mean, if he was used to, you know, women around him his whole life, then the fact that one will sleep with you is just not that big a deal.
Do you like when you have like these big male-female sports stories? Does it bother you as a woman when men get morally righteous on a woman's behalf instead of the woman just doing it?
It's a little bit odd. I like to hear it. I mean, I like to think that not every time it's separated down the gender line. But yeah, because usually men will just be like, oh, you know what? I'm over it. Okay, Tiger's back to playing golf. It's no big deal. Whereas we'll hold on to it. And, you know, we may never buy products that his face is on again. It's just we take it more personally. But, like, you know, some of them are just clear cut. To me, Tiger, that's a moral thing. A lot of people cheat. Let's not kid ourselves. But with Roethlisberger, it's borderline criminal. And so that, to me, is like, I don't mind. I think everyone should be angry at that, actually. No one should defend it. But
I agree. Some reader sent this to me. It was a theory called the father-daughter-sister test or father-daughter-brother-sister test, where if you, whoever the victim might be, if you imagine that it was your daughter or your sister.
Yep.
How mad would you be if you heard the story, regardless of whether anything criminal happened or not?
Right.
Here's the basic gist of what happened. Would you want to punch the guy in the face until he stopped breathing?
Right.
And this story, you hear it and you're like, well, all right, we don't know exactly what happened, but, you know, there was a really drunk girl and something happened.
Yeah.
And there was a bodyguard standing in front of a bathroom door. You know, the whole thing put together, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And then it's not the only story, and that doesn't help the cause.
Yeah, that's not good either. Holy I think God. They should have traded him. I just think you won two Super Bowls. Let the guy get a fresh start somewhere else. Get a fresh start as a city and a team with a new person.
You know, and I don't mind. It would be nice and refreshing once and for all. I guess at some days you're more resentful of the giant salaries and the life. You know, wow, these guys make a lot of money and they can't manage to act like a human. It would have been a nice message. Like, you know what? Yeah, you won us two Super Bowls. We pay you, but even you are not above being punished. It would have been nice, but, you know, at least they suspended him. We'll see what happens there.
All right. So what's it like being the number one draft pick at ESPN?
Well, obviously, I mean, there's people waiting outside just to take my picture.
You're the Sam Bradford.
The Sam Bradford. I don't even know what that means, the number one draft pick.
I don't know. I made it up the other day. I was in an argument about, like, if they had a fantasy or they had an expansion draft and they had to protect people from leaving, or, like, with an expansion team where you can only protect eight people.
Ooh.
I said you'd be the number one pick.
I like that.
Yeah.
It feels nice.
It's flattering.
Yo, it's super flattering. I like it.
Well, think about it. I mean, I think it's easier to find a guy to talk about sports in an entertaining way than a woman.
Oh, did you
just
think
look
I
at the track
like
record?
Sports? Oh, yeah, no, I don't.
Jamie told me to perpetuate the illusion that you are a sports fan.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm obeying
Jamie's
his
all
orders.
About his whole thing right now, because he's super suit, is to quote unquote protect the brand.
Yeah.
Which I find to be, it's almost as obnoxious as thinking outside the box.
Right.
But it's sort of becoming our mantra, and because it makes everyone laugh. We don't know what it means. He just likes saying it.
Well, do you know what his note's going to be to you? Or at least so far, his first note is going to be, you can't tell Simmons that you don't watch baseball during the regular season. You can't do that. All that does is open you up for people saying you don't know enough about sports.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? I can know what's going on. I just don't love it. That's all.
No, it's so easy to cheat with sports and kind of, I don't want to say cheat what you know, but you can pretty easily in the information era cover your bases without actually sitting down and watching a 4-hour Yankee game to have an opinion on Alex Rodriguez.
How did they do this before the internet? I mean, that's a different life.
Well, I do worry about our friends Wilds and Jacoby, because there's so much information now that, just think of all the stuff we load into our brain every day.
Oh.
Compared to 15 years ago. What were we doing 15 years ago? I don't even know.
I don't know.
I was reading the USA Today. Like, it was really exciting for me to read the USA Today for 10 minutes.
Yeah, you had newspapers, and I had a giant cell phone in a case that was in my car.
Yeah, and you had Sports Center, and you had whatever, games. But it, just this onslaught of story after story that sometimes isn't even a story. You have to decide. And for me, it's like, this is why I don't really read blogs ever.
Oh.
Because I just, it's too much. And I figure if something really big happens, one of my friends will let me know.
That's
know?
True.
And I can skip everything else. And if I miss 3% of it and I don't find out about the latest guy who pulled out his dong and that kind of stuff, my brain probably could use the rest, and then I'll fill that space with reality TV, which is the really important stuff.
Wait a minute. And you know what else? Because you're big on the Twitter. Twitter has changed everything.
Totally.
I don't even need to be near a computer anymore. I can literally get my entire day's news from Twitter.
Totally.
It's crazy.
And it's a great point. And I was thinking about today. So yesterday on Twitter, we're taping this on a Thursday. I did the Caps lose game 7.
Yep.
And I tweeted something about Washington, wow, Washington might replace Seattle as the most depressed sports city. So Pete Carroll, new Seahawks coach, who I've made fun of many times in my columns because he did a bad job for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So he tweeted something like, hey, times are, he put my name, he did the @sportsguy33, so you know, you can see it when it floats up in your own thing. And he's like, hey, times are changing here in Seattle. We had a great draft. The Mariners are game and a half out. I didn't see this because I was working on a column last night. Then this morning, he tweeted again, like, hey, Sports Guy 33 doesn't want to admit Seattle's. So then people are emailing me, like, why aren't you standing up to Pete Carroll? And I'm like, what? I didn't even know. So then I tweeted back, and I tweeted two things. And the second thing was, you know, first of all, I thanked him for, you know, I wished him luck. And then the second one was, I'm a little dubious because I was a Patriot fan from 97 to 99. And,
right.
You know, it's, and I still have some bad memories or whatever I said. So he, you know, now I'm thinking like this could go one of two ways. If he could either escalate this or do the good guy thing. And he did the good guy thing, and he was like, you know, that was a long time ago. And then he's like, why don't you come out for a game? Now I'm like, you know what? This is, I'll write a column about this. This is nice. But I'm thinking like, how would I have explained this whole thing to myself 10 years ago?
You can't.
But like 10 years ago, you will be tweeting on some random internet thing that everybody can see, and Pete Carroll will see it, and you'll have a back and forth, and it will end up with you going to like a Mariners game with him.
That's so, it's so random. I love it. I was so against Twitter at the beginning. I thought it was bizarre, and who cares what so-and-so's do? It's become, I'm obsessed now. It's amazing. I read all day long. I don't even know how many people I'm following now. Probably like 120 or something.
Oof, that's too many for me.
I know. Well, yeah, aren't you following like two?
Well, I tried to stay at 33. Now I'm at 40. But I refuse. This is why, you know, I love you, but I would not follow you because you tweet too much. If somebody tweets more than like 6, 7, 8 times, yeah. Whitlock is the only one I follow who tweets more than like 6, 7, 8 times.
A day?
He tweets like probably like 20. And I'm just following him because I want to make sure I be there. I'm there when he crosses the line,
right.
Which I know he's going to at some point.
Of course.
But for the most part, I don't like having it clogged up because
it can
be
a lot.
Too hard. Yeah, you miss stuff.
But it's, you know what? It depends on the day. Like, today, didn't really tweet all that much. Sometimes reach. But there are some days when it's just a great sports night and it's just a lot of good stuff happening. You know what I found was when I tweeted a lot? During the Oscars. So random.
Oh, my God. I did, too.
I don't know. I couldn't stop myself. Then there are two or three days go by and I'll tweet once. It just depends.
I read an awesome article like 2 days after the Oscars by somebody who said that Twitter completely transformed the Oscars and made it so much more fun because it's always been boring.
Yeah.
But now we had all these other random people to share how boring it was and make catty little jokes and make fun of people's outfits. And
if I wasn't limited by work, my tweeting would have been much worse.
I've thought about that. I've thought about just creating a fake Twitter account.
So have I.
And just starting doing all the tweets that I could never do and never saying it was me and seeing what would happen.
I'm terrified that somebody way nerdier and smarter than I'll ever be, obviously, will figure it out in about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'll be fired because, you know, or the negative people, the people that just need to say something mean.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was up to me, I would address every single one of those and I would have to do it under a fake name.
By the way, the overhead camera is now on you again.
What overhead camera?
It's on here. You can't see it. It's very thin, but they're watching
it. Did I just blonde out?
They're watching for the hot dogs that it turned on, and then when we were talking about the bull riding, it came back
on.
Oh,
right.
Now it's back
scintillating.
On. So you don't Google yourself, I'm hoping.
No. You know what? It will hurt you. Like, I did at first. The other day, somebody said something about me on some random show. So I Googled that and I was like, ugh, whatever. But then I realized that nothing good comes of it. Nothing. I mean, for every nice thing, for every 20 nice things, all I'm going to concentrate on is the one negative. So I can't.
Right.
I can't do it.
Yeah, I never Google myself.
It's the word. You know what?
There's no reason to.
I can't. So it's like,
well, that's what sucks is my freaking mom Googles me, and she probably has known every horrible thing that anybody's ever said about me on a message board or anything.
The worst.
Yeah. Because I'm her, you know, it's where they're kids.
Yeah.
And they just, they're like, how could Fart25 say that about my son? You know, these people with these fake names.
Do you want to hear something embarrassing? So my mom, you know, English is like her third language. I mean, this stuff is crazy to her and she finds it hilarious. Figured out Facebook in Italy, you know, I was hoping that would never happen. And now has taken it upon herself to, on the Facebook wall under my name, say things. So somebody the other day said, Michelle, you've been dressing like an old lady and your hair looks bad. And my mom actually said, I agree. I don't like what you've been wearing.
Oh, no.
I'm like, Ma, you actually realize everyone sees that, right? And it's clearly that you're my mom.
Oh, God.
What are you doing? It's scary. It's scary.
That's actually better than if your mom was under some pseudonym defending you on random message boards.
Oh, no. No, but she will defend me. I mean, it's... I don't think she realizes everyone sees it, and I can't explain it to her, so I just say, oh, well, it's my mom. I love her. Who cares?
Right.
But it's become very comical during the day when I get an update on Facebook.
Do you block people on Twitter?
I've blocked two people. One scared me. I thought he was actually going to come get me because I don't like Tim Tebow, apparently.
Right.
And another one was just sending me pictures of himself and his little friend in his pants. And I thought, I don't really need to see that. Even though I used it as my screensaver for about 2 weeks, then I took it off.
That's horrible.
Is it, though? Is it really?
Hey, man. I was trying to be supportive.
I know. It's funny because men get pictures like that and they think it's awesome. We get it and we're like, I was laughing. I showed my girlfriends. I was like, look what I got this morning. It's pretty good.
I'm the opposite. I love blacking people. I feel like I'm a bouncer at a bar. If you're in my bar and you don't like the beer I poured you or any of that stuff, you're out.
You're out.
I don't want to hear from you again.
But they come back. Like they just do another name and they come
then,
back.
Good. Then they wasted 15 minutes. Because the thing is, I like clicking on the, you know, you can click on the @ whatever your name is.
Yeah.
You can read all the latest stuff. And I think it's really useful to go through those and see, you know, hey, what did you think? Did you read this link yet? Did you get this? And as you said before, like I get a lot of my information that way. I find out if stuff happened. I find out about articles I might have missed.
Yeah.
So if some a-hole is on there going, your column sucks. you should just move back to Boston. You're clogging up my thing. You're wasting my time. So you're out.
I don't know
why
they do. I guess, I don't know. It's just weird. Do I not like a lot of people that I watch on television? Of course. But am I motivated enough to actually reach out and tell them? Not really. I mean, I'll just make fun of them with my friends. But it's funny how it's like they're comfortable enough. There's anonymity to it. So I guess it's easy. But
well, it's the whole – there's like this whole meta culture that's developed where people like complaining about – we have one guy back in Boston I won't name. But anytime he writes something, I get so many emails like, oh, my God, do you see that? See what he wrote this time? I'm like, just don't read him. I don't read him. Just don't. He's writing this stuff so you go crazy and you email your friends. Like, just stop. Or, you know, if, like the people – I've had some – like the Laker fans I have a love-hate relationship with.
Yeah.
I love to torture them and they hate it. Whatever. If they don't like it, don't read it. It's free.
Yeah.
Not a gun to your head.
No. And they have to follow you. That's what blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, stop following. It's not hard. You just unclick.
What's the maddest you've made anybody on the show with anything you've said?
Well, the Tebow cat was... he was angry. I mean, he was, like, threatening to physically hurt me, and then I blocked him, and then he redid it, but he wasn't smart enough to change the picture in his avatar. So I was like, dude, it's you again. I'm blocking you again. You're an idiot. You know, they haven't been super, super mad about certain things I've said. You know, they don't agree with me if I bash the Yankees. They hate that I bash the Yankees. They're like, didn't you used to work for the Yes Network? Then I was like, well, I did, but I technically never did anything with the Yankees because for whatever reason, the Yankees organization did not approve of me. So now that I'm not there anymore, I feel free to say whatever I want. Mm. I get a lot of that. I'm like, okay. Yankees, man, you say anything bad about them, they just lash out.
You've never, not in professionally, you've never been really in a position where you've had to spout opinions left and right, right?
No. Gosh, no, not at all.
I mean, so did you find like, because I know for me, it took me, I fortunately had my old website that, you know, not a lot of people read, people in Boston read, but I was able to make all my mistakes and kind of figure out where the lines were.
Yeah.
And now for the most part, you know, it's nice in this podcast, it rarely happens as Joe Mead can attest, but I might say... maybe once a month, say something. Then after, I was like, you know what? Let's take that out. That didn't come out the way I wanted. That might be. Have you found that there's been a couple times when things didn't come out the right way?
Probably. I don't know that I'm aware enough to have realized it until way after or somebody said something. But you know what? We're all as a show together, you know, for a good 7 hours before we even go on the air. That it's kind of nice. Like we kind of all know where everyone's going to stand. I could say something out of the blue and catch everyone off guard, but. You know, like the other day with the Dez Bryant stuff. I mean, that's tricky territory right there. And
yeah.
So it's like you have to kind of make sure – I had to run through my thoughts and make sure I can't say anything that's like too out there. But I will get in trouble eventually. I'll say something ridiculous. But, you know, it's kind of nice. I would never trade it in. I love the idea that I can kind of just give my opinion. It's so cool. It's such a good gig.
Yeah, I do think we, in 2010, and the internet, and everybody's so anxious to apologize or jump down the throats of somebody that writes something they don't necessarily agree with or whatever. I do worry that opinions are going to end up becoming tempered.
Yeah.
It's going to be the natural reaction, like, can I say this? Is this okay? And especially like with white-black stuff.
Oh, I know.
And with male-female stuff, those are the two areas that just you can – you'll watch these shows where the people, the talking head shows, and you could see them tiptoeing once it gets to, you know, well, I don't want to see it. And it just, you could see the fear and like, oh, I don't want my career to, my career is not going to end right now. Am I, as I talk about this? And, you know, I'm of a different note. If it ends for me that way, fine.
Yeah.
As long as it was something that I really believed in and I didn't feel like I did anything wrong and they were making me apologize because of, you know, whatever, it wasn't popular, I would stick to my guns.
I would too. Yeah. If it was something where I was just fighting for the sake of fighting and I said something, that's one thing. But if it was something I really believed,
yeah,
and I lost my job because of it, I guess that's just the way it would be. I would hate to think that I would change my opinion on something. That's just scary because then all of a sudden all we have left are like two or three people that will speak their opinions and everyone else is vanilla. I don't want that.
Well, unfortunately, that might be where we're headed. But you can hopefully change that on Sports Nation a little bit.
Well, you know, Cowherd, obviously, he makes a lot of people angry every time he talks. So as long as he keeps being ridiculous, he'll be good.
My thing with Cowherd, and I've come full circle on him only at the urging of the guys that you work with, because
yeah,
I really didn't like his radio show and I probably heard him the wrong day and made my decision, which I'm sure people have done with me. Just like, that guy's a blowhard. Screw that guy.
Right.
But, so I gave him a second chance. And I'm not saying I listen to it every day, but I'm in the car, I listen to the sports radio usually.
Yeah.
And, the thing with him is he always puts thought into whatever his argument is, which I don't think a lot of people do. Cause mm-hmm. I've heard, if you're listening to bad sports radio, and Lord knows there's enough of it, it's people who are either taking crazy arguments or saying the most obvious thing or trying to make these convoluted analogies. Like, when we come back, I'll explain to you why the Dodgers ownership system is like the final courtroom scene in A Few Good Men. And you're like, what? And you're like, I actually wanted to hear this. And then you hear it and it's like, wow, that made no sense. So you just wasted 10 minutes of my life. I hate you.
I know.
But Cowherd actually, he'll come up with things and they're cool angles on stuff. They're things like, wow, I didn't think of that. That's pretty interesting.
He's savant-like sometimes with the stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I may not agree, but I'm like, yeah, that actually makes sense. And I hate to admit it, but it's bizarre. Some of his analogies, there's not in a million years, I don't know how he came up with it or where it came from, but okay, I see it.
Has he made you mad?
You know what? Yesterday was one of the few times since I've been here where I was very heated when we were arguing about the Dez Bryant stuff in the pods during the day. I was angry because he was of the mind, you know, you're allowed to ask whatever you want. And I thought, well, I am all for being inappropriate and making people uncomfortable. However, like we were against each other on that one. And I was angry. I was like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. You're making me angry. You forgot what it's like to relate to people. Like it was like brother and sister bickering.
Oh, that's good, though. That's good TV. Wilds must have loved that.
Yeah, well, they were a little scared because, you know, you go on the air with that, you never know where it's going to go. But
yeah,
we still had our job today, so that's a good thing.
That's a really good thing. He's never had a moment where you felt like he was condescending and whatever?
There's a couple. I was ready for it when I came in. I was familiar with how he is as a person through his radio show.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when he has his misogynist moments, I'm just like, come on, you're a sexist pig. And then we move on. Like, it's like we just keep going. And it's not even that he's hurtful in doing it. He's a different character. It cracks me up. I love being around him because he thinks differently.
All right. Well, here's the part of the podcast where I kiss your ass.
Oh, neat.
I think it's a really hard show to host. I think you're really good at it. And I think you could do pretty much whatever you want. So I'm anxious to see where your career goes the next 10 years.
Wow.
How about that?
Thank you. Well, lucky for you, I'm just going to marry an athlete.
Don't marry a hockey player, though.
No. I want someone who'll never cheat.
All right. Do your plugs.
Oh. Sports Nation, ESPN2, 4 o'clock. Winner's Bracket, ABC, Saturdays at 5. Woo!
Explain Winner's Bracket really quickly for the uninitiated.
Total spinoff, really in spirit and idea from Sports Nation, but I host it with Marcellus Wiley. It's the bracket version of some shows we've done. Basically, we take 16 videos from the week, and we battle it out, and at the end, we have a winner. So it's just, you know, a week of crazy highlights, whatever may have happened, sports, non-sports, whatever, bam, we have a winner at the end. Kind of nice. It's fun. It's just, I like just pretty pictures and moving parts, and so for me, that show is all about that.
Cool. There you go. Your first BS report.
That is awesome. I'm going to go celebrate.
Do you want to have a cigarette?
I'm going to have a bottle of wine.
Can I pour you a glass of brandy?
That would be great.
You don't have to go yet, do you?
No, I'm just going to sit right here. Joe Mead's going to hate me.
All right. Michelle Beadle, thank you.
Thank you.
target to set off. Whoa!
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
With all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just-breaking news. Subway now has breakfast. And unlike the competition, you can get it made just the way you want. Like the Subway Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Add jalapenos, banana peppers, tomatoes, or try Monterey Cheddar. Build your better breakfast at Subway. And after you build your better breakfast, grab your favorite $5 footlong to go. Made to your order all day, every day. Only at Subway.